The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up. KingsCoastCoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 148 of Star Wars and Scotch. We are here to cover the season, not series, we'll get into that in a little while, finale of Ahsoka season one. But before we do that, Tim, how was your week?
Yeah, it was like current week or since last time we spoke
since
on
last
the
time,
podcast?
Since last time we spoke.
Yeah, it's been okay.
All right.
Let's see. Nothing too crazy. Been playing Lies of P, which is super fun.
I did. There was a lot of urination jokes when Ben played that.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. People keep on saying Life of Pi whenever I stream it. So
my favorite was the someone came into Ben's chat and said something about the falsification of urine and why he was involved in that.
What?
Lies of P, falsification.
People are so weird. So strange.
Anywho, but yeah, it's been a week. I'll say that much. But we got Ahsoka to talk about and King's Coast
Coffee.
Kevin,
if you're gonna ask me about my week, how's your week been?
I just said it was a week. That was, it has been a week of weeking.
Oh, okay.
It's been a week.
All right. Do you need some King's Coast?
I do. That's why I have this this mug here.
Oh, it's a nice mug.
Yeah, I can't really bring a regular mug in here because the coffee gets cold in 10 minutes. And I used to have the Ember mug when I streamed, but it just...
Yeah, Ember's great.
Mine stopped working one day. Just decided I didn't want to charge anymore. So I'm stuck with the travel mug, but it's great travel mugs. I don't even think we sell it anymore because it's like 5 years old. But durability. But yeah, delicious King's Coast coffee. Spooky season is here, which means you get spooky coffee followed by happy, cheerful... cinnamon drink red and green coffee. It's not colored.
Yeah, that's true. We go from you know our yearly Halloween time roast right into the holidays.
Yeah, Mariah's still thawing out, but
the countdown has begun.
As of November 1st, she will be released from her lair. Yeah, make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. We've got some great stuff going on. If you're interested in the Lotus roast from DE and Warframe, get it now because it's going to be gone. We're down to the last few labels, and when those labels are gone, that is the end of the Lotus roast.
I heard it's nothing but amazing. I don't think we were going to get anything. Everyone keeps on asking, like, do you like the Lotus roast? I was like, everybody else seems to really like it, so.
Sure.
Yeah, that might have to be like a comeback kind of thing. I don't know. It seems really solid.
I'll talk to Megan. Megan would probably do it again for TennoCon next year. They showed it on their broadcast last week, and all of a sudden we went over the limit of what we had discussed. Oh. But obviously, nice. We're going to let those sales go through. But we had to order some more stickers and stuff. But once those stickers are gone, it's gone for good. So if you're interested in the Lotus Roast, I highly suggest you get your hands on it ASAP because it will be gone soon. I'm in that weird place, too, where I'm not on auto order like you guys. I order it whenever I need it, and I just used the last of my bags, but my order's supposed to get here today or tomorrow. So fingers crossed.
Wait, so you got Lotus Roast?
No, just my regular coffee. Like I don't have King's Ghost in the house right now, and I'm freaking out.
Oh, I see. Yikes.
Yeah, no, I didn't get Lotus.
I'm just gonna go over there and just steal a bag from you.
I would, if I got Lotus, I would order three and given them to you and Ben, but I didn't.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I didn't order. I just my regular coffee order, and I don't have anything.
See, we do that for we make sacrifices for you guys.
Yeah, so you can have more coffee.
You're welcome.
So order the coffee, King's Coast Coffee.
Yeah, please, for the love of me.
That should be our new catchphrase. Order the coffee, King's Coast Coffee. Order the coffee.
Yeah,
and then Lab's got a little thing there, Tim, that you got on you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you two all like to hail the Dark Lord of YouTube? Well, then
yeah, join the community under the leadership of Tim soon. Well, I mean, you could do it today, but you can brandish your love for the community under the leadership of Tim soon.
Where can they go to brandish their love for the community under the leadership?
Shoplab77.co.
There you go. So by the time they hear this, it'll be out and up, right? Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. We're still fine. So like we went one direction and then I got the samples for that. And then I was like, we might need a pivot. So yeah.
All right.
We're still working on like getting things done early. Like I already have an idea for winter and then going into spring for next year. And I was like, we should probably start getting those blanks now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a little late, but it's been busy. It's been really, really busy. So
good.
We're just a small in-home production.
Literally so. In his home.
Literally.
I've seen it in his house.
Yeah.
So yeah, go over there and get Tim's Dark Lord merch as it releases for the spooky season. And last but not least, stay on those GCX comms. You may or may not have noticed that the dates have leaked for next year's event.
Man, people were on that as soon as it happened. People came to my chat like, I see that the header changed. Like, what? How did you just stalking our socials?
I didn't know until I got all the alerts. I knew many said, like, I'm going to switch everything over today. I didn't know it was that morning. And all of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up with Facebook alerts. And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess we switched over the branding. So, August 16th and 17th for next year. That's all you get for now, but stay tuned because I guarantee you before the season reaches full spooky, you will be able to make your arrangements for GCX. Not hotels, please don't ask. They don't do those until 8 months out. That is just a rule of the hotel. We have no control over that. No control.
That's it.
That's it. But tickets and all that other stuff you can take care of soon. Shall we get into it?
I guess so.
Tim and I both agree. We were talking to Ben this morning. Ben was doing his usual, I'm Ben, I'm excited.
Ben is a great hype man
for
anything. And I love that about him. At the same time, I woke up this morning and I saw what he had sent our group. And I'm just like, I disagree. Just there was nothing about it. I was just like, he was like, oh my gosh. And I'm like,
Was it a good episode? Yes.
Was it okay.
Worthy of being the finale of season one?
Not at all.
I didn't get that from
Not
this.
Not a freaking chance, dude.
Yeah, I was.
The title was awesome.
Yeah, homage to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So that was
I thought
awesome.
That was fantastic. I thought that was really good. A Jedi, a witch, and a warlord.
So
very good.
Dave is really showing us, though, how much he loves and draws from all this other stuff, too. So I thought
yes,
that was
very much so.
That was fun.
Yeah.
But I did one thing now that the series is complete that I will say, I do feel like this is the most space fantasy-esque show they've ever made.
Yeah, we had zombies.
Just in time for Halloween.
Like, I mean, it was perfect. Like, we had zombies, and that was sick. We had, like ultra death troopers. Like, they were super dead death troopers.
So I got to ask you. Is that the Death Troopers or is that resurrected Death Troopers?
No, those were. I think those guys had died and they were resurrected because they were already like super petrified. And
yeah,
like they were already like super. They had the blessing.
OK,
after the fact, I think those guys may have died once they came to Peridia and then they were resurrected.
Because they didn't move like Death Troopers, so I figured that would be the case.
No, they were very Frankenstein-esque when they were, like, fighting. So,
and you couldn't kill them. They stabbed them, they shot them, and nothing happened.
I love that. And it was really funny. Like, we'll get into it. Like, let's just start from the beginning. Let's just start from the beginning and we'll work our way through it.
They didn't poof away too. That was the only other thing. It wasn't like a little green mist Merrick style.
Yeah, I still don't understand like what was like, how does Merrick fit into all of that? I am still very much so lost with that because it was all very different. Like, I think there was like Dathomirian like sister magic that was like there, but it was very different from like when the stormtroopers are resurrected. It was very, very different. And then when they get stabbed and stuff, they like, they don't die, but Merrick did. A lot of inconsistencies when it comes to zombie things in Star Wars right now,
or just things that are not explained appropriately, because perhaps, yeah, you know, the resurrected version of these zombies that the witches can make don't poof, but you know, the imbued soldier type, like your Savage Opress and apparently Merrick, they poof. So I don't really know. I think that's part of the mystery of the Dathomiri witches, which is kind of cool. So that part I'm okay with, to be honest, because I do like a little bit of let me scour the internet and let's make a bunch of theories for this. Overall, yeah, I mean, we didn't get to see Enoch. So I'm a little
he was there for a little bit.
I mean, his face.
You mean like, oh, you want to see behind his yeah.
I want to know what's going on there. I
don't know. There's so many things where I'm like, okay, we'll get some closure here. And there was no, the overall theme for this episode was lack of closure.
The only thing we got is that they made it back to the galaxy, our galaxy. Yeah,
which doesn't, it still doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense in the grander story that we currently have, because there's no mention of Thrawn ever again after Rebels. So this is obviously...
Well, because they go to Dathomir.
Right.
So, like, we still have a big chunk of time between episode 6 and episode 7 where, like, they just get to play around. And, like, so not a lot of that time period has really been covered. So, I mean, I guess that's where they can get away with this. But still, like, there was still no, like... Like, what happens after this to get us to episode 7? Like, it's just so weird. Like, Thrawn shows up. He has all of these sarcophagus that he goes to Dathomir with the Great Mothers. And then now what? You know, it's just...
Obviously, here's my two cents, is I believe Thrawn will reconnect with the Shadow Council, but there will be contention between him and Brendel Hux. Because obviously, Brendel Hux is the one that's going to bring apart around the First Order, not Grand Admiral Thrawn. So at some point, I don't want to say there's going to be a civil war, but there's definitely going to be a vie for power within the remnants of the Empire.
I still don't. We still have two different types of Thrawns, and I don't understand. What is this like? What does this have to do with the Thrawn that Timothy Zahn created? What does this have to do with the Chiss Ascendancy? What does this have to do with the Grisk? Like, I'm so lost.
And he dropped "Long Live the Empire" when he left too.
Yeah. He has become the heir to the Empire, Thrawn, and it makes me upset for someone who invested so much time into the books.
And the weird part is it's not like Dave's going rogue and pulling a JJ where it's like, well, you didn't write him the way I wanted, so I'm doing it. Like, no, Timothy Zahn is involved in this show.
I mean, like, how deep is he connected to the show?
I don't know his level of involvement, but he is part of the team that made this show.
I'm lost. I really like after all 3 episodes that we've had Thrawn in, I just, right? It's been 3, 6, 7, and 8. I'm lost.
He was barely in 7 too.
Barely in 7. And like, and he was that, like, everything that happened in this episode with Thrawn was very Thrawn-esque from the show. You know, like,
yes,
rain hellfire on them and like all that stuff. Like, that was great. Like, that was awesome. And then the dialogue he has with Ahsoka at the end, talking about Anakin, that was a nod.
The Ronin reference.
I liked that. I thought that was really cool. He called her a Ronin, which very heavy Japanese influence, you know, a masterless samurai. But like the talk of like, you know, I won, you know, like that was cool. Like that was very Thrawn. You know, he's like, I knew everything that you were going to do. I win. Checkmate. And I thought that was great. And then like the glory to the Empire line was just like, ugh. You know, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I'm very lost.
I've only read the first two books. I'm actually got the third one queued up now that I finished Rise of the Red Blade.
You've got to go back and once you're done with that one, you have to go read the Ascendancy books.
Yeah, because don't I have to read those three and then flip to the Ascendancy trilogy, which is the prequel?
I mean, they're prequels, but I mean, like, you can start from the Ascendancy and you can go all the way through. It ties in very beautifully.
Okay.
Yeah, because where the third Ascendancy book leaves off is where the first Thrawn book picks up.
In the forest on that planet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But still, that guy, the guy that did all of these amazing things for the Chiss Ascendancy and fighting the Grisk and all of this stuff and getting planted into the Empire, what happened?
I don't know enough to comment here. I'm going to be completely honest with you. What I can say is they're going heir to the Empire, Thrawn, and
hard
in some amalgamation. Perhaps Peridia changed him. Perhaps, you know.
Well, apparently he knows dark magic because he was able to wake the Great Mothers. Like, I don't like you. There's a line where Ezra says, like, Thrawn, when Thrawn found Peridia, Thrawn found the mothers, he woke them, and like, I would never go here alone. Like, all, and then also, like, there's, oh man, I'm just gonna unload.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated that they just destroy the temple.
Yeah, or, I hated like, that too.
Like, what the hell? Like, this entire thing with the Zepho, and we have this, like, cool tie-in to Jedi Fallen Order, and then that's it? Like, we're not gonna dive any deeper? Like, them destroying that just got rid of that entire part. Like, just wiped it off. And, unless Ahsoka and Sabine end up going back to the rubble pile that's left from the Chimera blowing it up. I don't know.
Well, I think we learned towards the end of the episode with Baylan, the only scene we had with Baylan, is that Peridia has way more than just Kujet.
Yeah, it has Mount Doom.
The dark side. I think the statues of the Mortis gods was super interesting because it...
I thought it was good.
I think it closes the Kujet door and opens up a few different theories. One, obviously, the Avaloth theory is on the table. We're not going to revisit that. But, you know, my only comment on that is the father's pointing.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's the void prison that, like, leads the way to the void prison. Who knows? If Avaloth's not it, maybe it does have something to do with the Mortis gods. The problem with the Mortis gods is they're all dead, or you have Morai is Ahsoka's spirit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Who we saw at the end. But we also saw Morai in Mandalorian, so it wasn't too shocking. But the son and the father are supposedly dead too. So, and they're gods, so who the hell knows? I just, at this point, the Kujet theory goes out for me, and Baylan's either looking for the son or the mother. Those are the two. That's what I got. I don't know. Obviously, the statues were significant. The only other thing I could imagine, and this plays into seeing Anakin at the end, is the reallocation of the Mortis gods and Anakin truly being the new father, which is...
Yeah, I saw a picture where it was Baylan the son, Anakin the father, and Ahsoka is the daughter, the sister. And like I guess, but...
My problem with that is... If you go down that road, the you're catering to a very small base of fans.
Very much so. Yeah. And also, like, I don't understand how, like, why does Baylan, who's a brand new character, and who did, I mean, like, overall, didn't have a lot of screen time or a lot of, I don't feel like Baylan had a lot of importance.
Towards the end.
Towards the, like, in the beginning, he was definitely, like, a big figurehead. But then as we got into Peridia and we got through all this stuff, he kind of just gets overshadowed by everything else. But his story, in my mind, was very interesting.
And important. His story, to me, has the largest ramifications for what we're doing with the lore. Thrawn being the second. But Baylan's is humongous, in my opinion, because that sets the tone for Force stuff, and Force stuff is the foundation of the universe. So, I don't know. I don't know. I thought the statues were amazing. I thought it was such a cool visual. You know, did you see it right away? Because it took me a second. So I was like, the that's statues? A statue of a man and the
oh,
witches.
Oh, no. I got that. And then like the dot. Oh, I hit the, I got to get my foot off that. Sorry. I'm recording on my side. I noticed it right away. I noticed that was the father and the son, and like the daughter's head was gone. And I assumed that was what Morai was standing on.
Yeah.
Was the head of the daughter. So like, I thought that was like all, now I want to know, how did it get from there to there? What happened? You know, it's like, it's very, and again, very Lord of the Rings-esque, mm-hmm. you know, like the statues, it was very much so like in the Fellowship when they're on the canoes and you see the
kings
the big
of old.
Statues.
That's actually supposed to be, if you watched Rings of Power, that's, Isildur. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. There's a, in the movies, it's the two brothers. And I think in the book, it's the brother and the father. Or the father, I can't remember. It's some combination of those three. Two are in the book, two are in the movies. But yeah, it's the guys from Rings of Power, essentially.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I thought that was fun.
This is one of the reasons I said this is taking Star Wars to its fantasy roots, you know, not so much the sci-fi roots. And you know, this powerful font. I don't know what we're going to find. I really don't at this point.
But now we've got two completely different stories. Like three completely different stories. We've got Ahsoka and Sabine on Peridia with Baylan and Shin.
Mm-hmm.
But Shin and Baylan are off doing their own things. Baylan is going to Mount Doom. Shin found her new band of misfits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Ezra and Thrawn back together again in the same galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra goes to the New Republic. And then you've got Thrawn in Dathomir. So, like, I feel like Ahsoka, the show, I have a hard time understanding. Like, I feel like if we do a season two, the cohesiveness of all of this, like the whole idea of this being a Rebels style show, I feel like it kind of goes out the window. Now you've got so many different stories being told.
Yeah.
How the hell are they going to get back? Like, are they going to hitch a ride with more space whales?
No, there's going to be something else. It's gonna be
like again,
else.
It's just like this whole thing of like them being left. I feel like they're going to end up using the World Between Worlds to get back to the galaxy.
I didn't want to say that because of how the World Between Worlds works.
I agree with you, but I think that's the only way that they're going to be able to do it is that they're going to have to insert themselves. I think that's the only way that you can, because Peridia is the end destination for the space whales. So space whales go there to die. They don't go there to hang out and then go back. It's a one way trip.
Yeah.
So how the hell are they going to get back? Well, the only thing that I could think of.
I thought it was part of the migration, and then some stay and die. I thought it was like this big circle, which was on the map.
We haven't seen the space whales that dropped them off left.
I think it'd be more of a question of when they would come back because of the migration patterns. If you look at,
but they also don't have a spaceship. Their spaceship's dead.
No, they fixed it.
Is it good? Good. Oh, I guess it's. But I mean, like, how fixed is it?
I mean, they could work on it now. They got plenty of time.
Are they going to be able to go? I don't know. Like,
it
seems kind of messed up, especially after when the Eye of Sion took off. It looked bad.
I told you Jay texted me Glam last week saying about the new Ewoks, the Noti.
Yeah, the little Noti guys.
And then when they were fixing everything and making the noises, I was like, God, they really are the new Ewoks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're cute. Little turtle people.
I said to him back to him, I was like, it is another galaxy, so maybe there's some sort of mirror of, you know, like we need cute little X creature for, I don't know. There's a lot to tie up. I think the show created more questions.
I'm frustrated. Like I'm the kind of person when it comes to a show that I need closure with certain things. Like if they would have closed off some of the parts of the show and be like, and then like how Marvel does it, you know, like Marvel does a really good job of like closing things up, but then they leave you on a cliffhanger and then in the credits to be like, so-and-so will appear in like another thing. Right. I didn't get any of that.
No,
there was like, we spend so much time on this procession to Thrawn.
Yep.
It took up so much time.
Yep.
It ate up so much time with no storytelling at all. And then you get this heart. I mean, like, and I thought it was cool little Easter egg drops, like Ezra building his lightsaber with Hu Yang, and Hu Yang, like, knowing who Caleb Dune is, knowing that it was his master, and like using like the hilt, like all that stuff. I thought it was great. I thought it was really cool that Ezra got his lightsaber back. And like all of that was like really cool. Like it was neat that Ezra has the same color lightsaber that that his master had. And I thought that was neat. I got to tell you, Sabine with force powers pisses me off.
I don't like it.
I'm so upset about that. Like I thought it was kind of cool with like she could kind of like tickle the force a little bit, but she went from like I can't do this to I can grab a lightsaber to I can throw Ezra through the air.
I saw before the episode aired, the Star Wars official website changed her description and listed her as a Jedi now, and I was like, oh.
I don't like that. I don't like that she gets to be the Jedi Mandalorian.
It also makes Grogu less special.
It does, 100%.
Yep. I'm not a fan.
Because he's of both worlds.
I'm more of a fan of Sabine struggling to use the Force. Like I told you a few episodes ago, I think I said this when I said, like, I think that Sabine's identity would have been better knowing that she wasn't really adept at the Force and that she had to come to grips with that and learn how to be that person and that version of herself. And I'm not happy with the like, yeah, I can throw Ezra across the chasm now and whatnot, because even in Obi-Wan, he couldn't reconnect with the Force until it was a moment of great distress. And I'm sorry, as cool as that hole was, it didn't seem like a moment of great distress, if you will. Yes, Ezra was falling and he could have died and all that stuff, but it was very Rebels, like holding onto the ledge. Like
extremely Rebels, like the whole thing was.
Obi-Wan's reconnection with the Force was Leia falling and almost dying, like, and he knew he had no choice but to come back. And it didn't land the same way for me. And
Obi-Wan had been training his whole life. And Sabine has not been training her whole life.
So,
And then they hit us with this whole, like, Sabine was Ahsoka's student, but then when the Purge of Mandalore came, Sabine was so worried that she would turn to the dark side and she would be so powerful and, like, all of these things. Like, she was so afraid of Sabine turning into Anakin. Like, where, what?
One little nugget there, too. I don't know if you caught it, but they did say that the Purge of Mandalore was part of Operation Cinder.
Yeah, I think we all kind of like understood that.
Which would explain why the New Republic was not able to help Mandalore whatsoever. A, because Mandalore was not part of the Republic, but B, because they had other problems they had to address at that moment because of everything that was happening with Burden Khan and all the other stuff that we've heard about. So that was a very quick one, but I had read it.
But we already knew that. Like they had already established that a few episodes ago.
Not that it was a part of Operation Cinder. I'm saying more to the larger Star Wars, not this. So that's why the Republic.
Oh,
was
I see
not
what you mean. Yeah, just like as the Empire fell, one of their last things that they did was purge Mandalore.
Yeah.
Like because they didn't want the Mandalorians to have anything else. I mean, like that was the entire thing. Like you go play Battlefront 2, and they do a great job of explaining like why Operation Cinder was so important.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, Emperor Palpatine. Yeah, I agree with you on all fronts. I think it's the whole Sabine Jedi thing is not landing for me. And, you know, if Sabine now from this moment on is just one of the team Jedi type thing, I don't like it. I'm going to be upfront with you.
I don't either. And then what is she going to go do? Is she going to go claim Mandalore? Is she going to go use the Darksaber now? Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, and they keep talking about Mandalore, so I guarantee you Mandalorian Season 4, if the rumors are true and we're shifting to Katee Sackhoff being the Mandalorian, or Bo, then it would make sense that Sabine would pop up at some point in that show. I mean, she's stuck on Peridia right now, so it's going to be... She can't... If Mandalorian Season 4 is to come out before Ahsoka Season 2, we're not going to see Sabine because they wouldn't do that and mess up the timeline of Peridia.
Imagine
if there's a Mandalorian Season 5, but John has said he doesn't really want to go past Season 5. Keep that in mind too. Don't forget that.
Because it's all going to come to the end in the movie, right?
Plus they want to move on to new projects and tell new stories.
Right.
With the Acolyte trailer really leaked this week. I don't know if you...
Oh, I didn't see that.
I sent it to you the other day. Yeah, the Acolyte trailer leaked this week and like it's got potential. That's all I'm going to say.
It
good? Yeah. The end when like all of a sudden they're all standing there and like 8 Jedi light their lightsabers and they're all different colors. I was like, ah,
oh, sick. Yeah.
But it's again, we've said this for years. This is episode 148. We've almost done 150 episodes of this thing. And Tim and I have said it for years. At some point, they're going to tell other stories in other parts of the timeline. And they're very high on High Republic, even though I read a few weeks ago that Disney told them, like, all right, enough with the High Republic books. Like, you did enough. You got to do some other stuff now. So apparently Disney is not happy with the ROI on the High Republic books, which, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I don't blame them.
I could have.
I mean, like, phase two was trash.
Yeah, it was garbage.
So, like, it was really bad. And as much as I really want to love it, as I tried so hard to really get into it, I just didn't care.
Phase one was great.
Phase one was awesome. Phase one was fantastic. They should have just kept running with that. The whole idea of, like, let's go farther into the past. It's like, well, let's not.
And the last two I guess, Skywalker timeline books that I've read.
Yeah.
Would be the Sith one. I can never remember the name of that awesome book.
Shadows of the Sith.
Shadows of the Sith and now Rise of the Red Blade. Two really good books and really good novels and really good storytelling around things that we, you know, had an idea of or didn't know. I didn't know that you've read the Vader comics.
Yep. Some of them.
She's in the Vader comics. The main character of Rise of,
Yeah.
He kills her in the Vader comics.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. Some of the Vader comics are just so good.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
He finds out she has a lover and that's their weakness. And he doesn't like that for his Inquisitors. So he challenges them.
Yeah, because he didn't get to love. So screw you guys.
He challenges them. And then, that's in the Vader comics. Good. So
we're going to have to do that with our downtime without like Ahsoka or like any shows is to go back. And
I'm dying to get back into comics. Like, I love the first High Republic series. So we should talk offline about covering some comics, maybe like a few every week. But I think that's the way to go till Skeleton Crew comes out. I was talking to Alex via text the other day. And he's like, Skeleton Crew, and then it's going to be a long wait. I know.
Mm-hmm. Let me rub.
So, I mean, the strike is over for the writers.
Yay! I'm really happy that everyone gets to make a fair wage.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm happy they got what they wanted. So I hope that, you know, translates to, obviously, the quality of work. Not that they were doing bad quality before, because obviously we've gotten tons of good shows, except for season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Does this keep AI at bay?
I believe there's contingencies against AI in there. Yeah. AI is a great.
Oh, I use AI every day to make my thumbnails.
It's a companion tool. It's not a main. Like, you need a heart and soul and things like this. So one thing I wanted to ask you about was Morgan's little blessing that she received. Also, I'm pissed she's dead, by the way.
Yeah. Why did she get resurrected? What the hell?
Not even the resurrection. I'm just like, how do you make her one of what did they call it? Not mothers.
No, they made her a sister.
A sister. And
they gave her the dark. They gave her the dark blessing.
Yeah. Like, how do you make that and improve her character?
I don't know. You powered her up and then you killed her.
And then you had to slice her open. Now.
Like, they made an anti-Jedi weapon. Like, that was the whole point of this. I knew exactly where this was going. I was like, they're going to turn her into a weapon, which I think is great because Ahsoka and Morgan have gone at it before. And so this should have been her rematch. And I would have liked it if Morgan would have kicked her ass.
I also was hoping that Morgan would win and drive Ahsoka away and live. That was what I was hoping for. But I didn't get that.
No. It just, like, this felt very, and I saw other people say this too. This felt very rushed. This ending felt extremely rushed, where we had like other really good episodes. There's a couple filler episodes. I get it. Understand. But this episode just makes no sense from a storytelling point of view, in my opinion. I don't know what we got. Like, it, a lot of the actions that took place in this episode leaves me with asking the question, what was it all for? Like, really, other than getting Ezra, but Ezra then goes off. Like, Ezra's gone. Like, okay, you get Ahsoka and Sabine back. Their relationship is better, but I still don't know, like, what the entire season of Ahsoka was about. But we'll talk about that and more after this ad.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Thanks for listening to those ads. They help pay the bills. They help, hopefully one day we'll be able to be like, yeah, Star Wars and Scotch is our full-time job.
I mean, our numbers this during Ahsoka have been absolutely ridiculous. To say that you all have blown it out of the water would be an understatement. So we really appreciate the support. I mean, we 10-20x'd on certain metrics. So
yes,
hoping that most of you join us in between shows. We understand not everyone will, but in between shows, we hope that most of you join us.
Yes, please.
But if you don't, okay, that's cool. We'll see you again for Skeleton Crew. You know, it's totally fine. What were we going to get into? I forgot the topic that we were going down the rabbit hole of.
Talking about what was it all for? What was the point of Ahsoka outside of developing more of the Rebel crew? Like, I mean, it was story development for the Rebel crew, and I think that's cool. I think it's great. But at the same time, I didn't get any closure with Thrawn.
No.
Like, I didn't really get anything from Thrawn. The whole Morgan Elspeth storyline comes to a very abrupt end after she gets Mother Townsend's blade, which I thought was awesome, which was really, really cool. It was neat. But like I told you in our chat, it was very fan service. Like, no one was really going to get that. Even Ben was like, what's that sword? And it's like, unless you saw that one episode of Clone Wars
where she fights Mace,
you wouldn't really know. And yeah. Okay, cool. We know that it's Morgan needed, she didn't have her Beskar spear, so she needed something to fight a Jedi. Cool. So we turn Morgan into this anti-Jedi weapon. And then, like everybody else who goes up against a Jedi in Star Wars fashion, dies.
Yep.
And then we get Ezra, who then reunites with Hera, which I thought was really cute. I thought that was great. Like, it was like a mother being reunited with her child.
I was hoping Zeb was going to be there.
Dude, I mean, like, I really liked the whole chopper, like, interaction. He's like, Ezra? I think this might be Ezra. It's not like he was like, Ezra, Ezra. And then like he takes his helmet off, and I thought that was cute. But yeah, Zeb wasn't there. We know he's off doing something, but Harrow's there. Chopper, like, that was cute. But there was still just like, I have so many questions. And I still don't understand, why did we spend 8 weeks on this and we're just left with, I don't feel satisfied. I think that's my biggest problem, is that I was really hoping for some answers, and there were no answers. There are no answers.
I wouldn't mind if we were left with this and season two was already in production. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd be more okay with that, being like, Ahsoka and the crew will return in season two. You know, it was the uncertainty up until yesterday when Disney changed the verbiage from series finale
to season finale. As of yesterday, they changed the way they're messaging. Yesterday.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yes, yesterday is when they were like, yeah, there'll be more of this. So,
okay, so hold on. I have a whole nother question then. Why, if they didn't know, if they wanted to leave everything on a cliffhanger because they weren't sure if they were going to be able to do an Ahsoka season two, or they'd have to tell this story in another fashion, why would you leave it like that? Why would you leave so many plot points open without any closure, and you had no idea if you were going to be going into another season?
My theory is they were planning on season two. The strike happened. They couldn't really promise us anything or do anything else from there. Then on top of that, Rey passing away kind of doubled down on their problems. So I believe that the intention was always to make a season two. I don't think they were able to act on those intentions. You know what else I just noticed, because I have the episode playing? Ezra's lightsaber is very thin, just like Rebels.
Yeah, everything about, I honest to God thought he was going to have a blaster attached to it. When he was putting it all together, I was like, watch, he's going to have a gun.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But if they were going to make it, they didn't, you know, because of strike and everything, and then Rey, and then here we are. I have a feeling that that is why things played out the way they did, is that the intention was always to make a season two, because I don't think Dave's Heir to the Empire movie is coming out until the end of this decade. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, that's when I think it will air, like 2028, because I have a feeling there's at least two more seasons of Mandalorian. I think there's two more seasons of Ahsoka minimum. And then you will get your Heir to the Empire movie. And that's not including any other curveballs they throw into this. Now, one thing I will say that they're setting up from Heir to the Empire as well is some sort of interaction between Thrawn and the potential of running into Luke, running into Leia.
That happens in the books.
That's why I'm saying this is all being set up now. To make,
I'm frustrated,
Heir to the Empire not canon, but to take elements from it and make it part of this canon. Because obviously we didn't have an Ahsoka when Heir to the Empire was released.
No.
So
you didn't have the Dathomirian witches or anything like that.
Actually, we did. They just weren't this. The Dathomir witches have been around in canon. Or
no, but I mean,
forever.
Like, they weren't like it. It's the Dathomirian witches have taken the place of Sebaioth.
Yeah, and they didn't take their current form until Clone Wars was when they have the red Dathomir, all that stuff. They were just like a nomadic
Heir to the Empire, like instead of using like the Dathomirian witches and things like that, like Thrawn ends up finding these cats.
Yeah, I remember.
They're almost like displacer beasts, and like they release this like aura that's force suppressing. So like he keeps them around with him. Something like that, like there are little things where I was like, oh, that's cool. And like, I'm kind of glad they didn't put it in the show, but I don't know. It's the longer I sit here and think about it, the more I'm disappointed with how this all went. And like, and I tweeted it yesterday after it was over, and I just said, I'm so torn. And a lot of people were like, yeah, same. They're like, that was cool. Like the fight scene between Morgan and Ahsoka. Awesome. That felt so like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Like all of that was just awesome. I thought like the martial arts in that was phenomenal. It was all really cool. But still, I don't feel satisfied. I feel like the last 8 weeks were coming to this. Like I felt like over the last 8 weeks, I really had this in my head that there was going to be some type of like understanding of how this all happened. Like we still don't understand what happened after Ezra and Thrawn leave and they go off to Peridia
for the
like,
10 years.
Like there's still this huge thing of like, how did we get from this weakest point of being blasted through the galaxy into another galaxy through the void? And then that happens. Like it literally, Ezra covered the last 10 years in one sentence.
Yeah.
And like, that's frustrating to me. We didn't have a single flashback. We didn't get any type of closure in that part of the world.
I mean,
so there's still so many points that I feel like they could have touched on that would help with the continuity of the storytelling.
I agree with you. I'm not satisfied. Now, again, will we have a better picture in a few years? Sure. Absolutely. And we may speak differently about how all of this played out.
But is it going to be told through like a book or through
a
comic book? Like that's my frustration is that we always end up going like, well, I guess we'll learn about this in another form of storytelling.
I think we get two more seasons of Ahsoka and then an Heir to the Empire movie after two more seasons of Mandalorian. That's my prediction. John said five. I pretty much trust that five would be the max. Because again, Star Wars, the beauty of it is not necessarily the fact that you have to tell a story and then the story's over and it's done. John probably wants to tell, he's a High Republic, Old Republic person. He probably wants to be the one to direct the Revan movies or something like that,
Mm-hmm.
So there's the potential for other projects from them. But he said five. I'm really stuck on that number because I feel like that's such a perfect number to wrap up that story with Bo. I personally think we're not done seeing Din and Grogu, but I think their story is over. I think.
Yeah, they got that babe ending with like, it kind of closes in on the frog and Grogu and like that very happy ending.
And
we know
that he, is not going to train with Luke anymore. He got what he got out of him and that's the end of it. So that story is over, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
To tie up the loose end would be the story of the people of Mandalore coming back together to make sure that in the New Republic era, we're able to use those characters, just like we brought back the Dathomiri witches now. And they're going back to Dathomir, which means that Dathomir is going to be inhabited again by zombies and witches and all the fun stuff that we loved about it in Clone Wars. Again, plot device to get us back to a place where we can use them in the stories.
Yeah.
But Ahsoka, I think we get another season of them getting off Peridia, Thrawn's plans for whatever the hell Thrawn's planning, because we still don't know. And again, it could be a 4D chess game, Tim, where he's, just eight steps ahead of everyone.
He is. I mean, that was very clear the entire way through. Like every time that you thought Thrawn was defeated and you're like, oh, he fucked up. And he's just kind of like bites his lip, takes a deep breath, and he's like, on to next plan. And it's just like, I loved everything about that. I thought that was perfect. It was very Thrawn-esque where he was just like, all right, off to plan B. All right, this one didn't work. On to the next one. He's probably got A through Z ready to go.
And part of the thing too is what's interesting is Morgan worked for him when he was part of the Empire. So maybe, when he convinced her to basically commit suicide, maybe his long live the Empire wasn't long live the Empire. That's what I believe. It's long live the Empire because that's how we were associated.
Well, he was saying for the Empire. He says long live the Empire on the Eye of Sion to Ahsoka.
Unless he truly believes that he can become new Emperor. And in some,
which blows my mind,
in some way links back to him serving the Chiss Ascendancy. But again, I don't have enough context there to really dive into that theory.
I was really hopeful with like how the music and everything was like going when it opened up with the title screen. I was like, please, something with the Chiss Ascendancy, like the drums and the horns. And I was like, this is going to be sick. And I didn't get it. I got no mention of the Ascendancy.
With the Chiss, because again, I'm basing it off Legends Chiss, and they're way different from what I've heard from Disney canon. Legends Chiss were vicious, brutal. They had the houses and everything, but it was like Game of Thrones where the houses are constantly
They're like that too. They're constantly backstabbing each other. They all hate each other. They all want to be in the top 40.
But
they all want to be a great house.
In Legends, in the Old Republic, the Chiss are part of the Empire. The Chiss Ascendancy is a piece of the Empire, but the Empire at that time still racist against all other races. The only reason they let the Chiss in is because they were tacticians, they were intelligent, and they knew that if they went to war with them, they probably would have a problem on their hands. So they brought them into the Empire.
In the current Timothy Zahn trilogy, there is a mention, in the first book, it goes to a gala with who's the ISB commander?
Wolf?
No, Yularen. No, not Yularen. Somebody else. There's one of the guys in the ISB that he hangs out with, and I can't remember his name. Anyways.
Oh, the one from the book. Yeah, I remember. I don't know his name.
You know who I'm talking about. I just can't think of his name. So they go to a gala And people are like, oh, he must be Pantoran. And then they look at his eyes and like, oh, no, like they've never seen a Chiss before. So he's very, very much so like very alien, very foreign. And that was another reason why like the Navy hated him, was because like this random ass alien from nowhere is now rising the ranks so quickly.
Well, the Empire hates aliens too.
The Empire hates aliens, right? They all need to be subjective to the humanoids. But at the same time, like they were still very frustrated with this unknown alien that they've never seen, but they've never heard of a Chiss before. So some people knew of Chiss, like his second in command,
Eli
Vanto, could speak Chiss. So I mean, like there was like some trade and stuff, but like nothing. They have no established hold in the Empire.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, this is the Old Republic when there was an Empire and a Republic. So bringing that idea back is...
You still have the whole chaos and, like, all of that stuff. I mean, like, there's still a lot of... Again, that would be a bunch of unanswered questions of, like, how did the Chiss... How were they there? And then they're not in the chaos. And, like, it was navigable and now it's not. Like... Again, there's a lot of it's very Star Wars right now. We're dealing with a lot of Star Wars in the storytelling where it's inconsistent. There's holes. It's very hard to draw from one point to the next right now.
One thing I love during the fight scene with the Night Troopers is the funniest thing to me about Mandalorians and the way they fight is they just eat bullets. Or rounds.
Oh, yeah, they're constantly just tanking shots.
They're
constantly. And I love how pinpoint, like how accurate a stormtrooper can be of hitting them perfectly in their pauldron or in their chest, but not in all of the squishy parts that are opened up anywhere else. Like they're just perfectly always just chest and shoulder shots or the head. Although they won't hit the exposed areas at all. Also, how did the zombies get charges? How did they get breaching charges? They went from being like slow, like reanimated dead guys to then blowing up doors and running through them.
Yeah, they were up, 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 up.
Yeah, what happened when I'm like, and then they're blowing up doors and then up, 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 up all the way through. Like, I don't know. Again, like there was parts of it I was like, that's cool. And the other part is like, how did we do that?
I mean, the Dathomir zombies are not like. They were more like running at you and leaping and clawing, and they were not these little like.
Are you talking about when
Grievous, Night Sisters? Yeah, when Grievous shows up.
Yeah,
and they resurrect them. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not zombies. They're like banshee freaking.
Yeah, but the stormtroopers start with that. They start just kind of like slowly, just like.
Maybe it's kind of like getting the dark energy.
Oh, the juice is flowing. Yeah,
through. Yeah, it takes a few minutes.
Yeah, warming up the zombie muscles. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I am very not satisfied.
Ahsoka lost one of her lightsabers too. Morgan broke it.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
It was the tiny one, though, not the big one.
Her Tanto blade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what that's called?
Yeah, the short swords are called Tantos.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that a Japanese thing, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
And that's the one thing that I think I will continue to love about this is that Ahsoka is really that Japanese tie-in. Everything was very Japanese. Also, like you go and like when Shin like rides up and she holds her lightsaber over her head,
yes.
Like those guys are like in samurai armor.
That
like I thought that was great.
Well, the holding of the lightsaber too is a scene. I can't remember which Japanese film. It's one of the Kurosawa films, if I remember correctly. But it's from that. It was straight homage, if I remember, Mike, because I've watched like a bunch of those. They're all on AMC on Max.
And, oh, cool.
And I just sat. For a few days, a few years, I think it was during lockdown, and watched a bunch of them because I was like, man, this is, I want to know where Lucas got a lot of his inspiration from.
Yeah.
And it was that in Westerns. So if I remember correctly, it's from a Kurosawa film, but I remember that scene of him holding his katana above his head like that and then looking at the other.
At the camp?
Yeah. I find it interesting, too. They use the word Ronin because obviously that's an earth word.
It's a Japanese word. Right. It means masterless samurai.
So cool, great context, love it, you know, but obviously we have the story that I loved from Visions and they're expanding on it. I don't know if I sent you the article. They're doing more with it now. So while that story is not canon, it has nothing to do with canon, it's just fun. Highly recommend the book. It was a fun read. Lulls a bit in the middle, but overall beginning and end were good. And Tim would love it because the Jedi are evil. They're the warlords. Mm-hmm. I can't help but think that they announced that during this, and then Ahsoka is the Ronin. Also, going back to the tactician and stuff, Thrawn constantly saying, if she's anything like her master, if she's anything like her master.
Which is a direct tie-in to the books.
We won't be she won't negotiate, which I thought was hilarious. Because that was a throwback to, I guess the negotiations are over, Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
So he won't negotiate. And then I swear, I really thought at the end she was going to pull the heir to the Empire trick, which referenced, they did it in Rebels 2. It's when you attach the ship to the other ship unknowing. And then...
Yeah, I mean...
Because mm-hmm. in
well, Solo, I mean, Han Solo does that with the Millennium Falcon. He attaches himself to a Star Destroyer.
But if you remember in Heir to the Empire, when they're going and then Thrawn turns the ship and then all the fighters come off because they thought it was just one ship, but it was,
yeah.
And they do it in Rebels too. I forget which
scene. They do it in the books.
I know, but
okay. He does that move in the books.
Yeah. So I really thought she was going to do that. And then like when we got back to the galaxy, separate.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought she was going to blast off. She was going to somehow get inside the cargo bay or something.
There's a whole mystical element to this that is why they're staying. And that excites me because, you know, that's the...
Pretty is very important.
Yeah, and I want to know more. I want to understand the statues, all that stuff. That excites me. The problem I have is I got to wait like 2 years now to get any closure on this.
Yep.
And that's a long ass time. I will be in my mid-40s by the time we have this discussion. We'll be on, like, episode 400 by then, Tim.
God. There's going to be, I mean, like, I'm excited for more content. I know we're going to get more content. I know there's going to be more books, and there's going to be more comics, and, like, all that stuff.
I don't want this in books and comics. This needs to be.
And that's my point. And that's my point, is that, like, the stuff that I want to know now... is either it like this is what I'm focused on with Star Wars. Either it's going to be all of the stuff that happens before. So the Dawn of the Jedi stuff really intrigues me because that's a tie into the Old Republic. Like we're going to go from there into the Old Republic. So that's going to be what heralds the Old Republic. Excited about that. I think that'll be really, really cool if they do it right. And then I want to know what happens in the between 6 and 7. And Ahsoka was starting to really answer some of those questions. The Mandalorian was starting to answer some of those questions. And I think overall, Mandalorian has done a better job of filling in the gaps with storytelling than Ahsoka did. I feel like the last season of the last two seasons, I guess really the Book of Boba Fett, the Mandalorian season 2.5 and Mandalorian season 3. I think like those were really, really good from a overall Star Wars storytelling point of view. Because it answered a lot of things like, what's Luke doing? You know, what's going on with the New Republic? What happened to Mandalore? Like all of these things that you kind of get left asking questions about. And then you're like, okay, cool. What's going to happen with Thrawn? I don't know. He ends up on Dathomir. That's it. But we don't hear a single echo of Thrawn going into episode 7. There's no mention of Grand Admiral Thrawn. So what happens? He just like the New Republic fights Thrawn, but then like that's it?
They might be
peacetime? Like
they might be fighting the Imperial remnant that is led by the Shadow Council that will become the First Order. So
no, because the First Order appears in secret. The First Order the first time they show themselves like in actual true power is when they blow up the New Republic. Because they were all chill.
Let me ask you this.
It's not like they were at war. They were in peacetime.
Let me ask you this. Thrawn and the Emperor had a very good relationship, right?
Uh-huh.
Does he know he's still alive?
I would assume
because he would have known the contingency plan, correct?
He would have, yeah, he would have known about Operation Cinder.
And he would have known about Exegol.
I don't know. There's no talk of Exegol until episode 9.
That's what I mean. Is there a connection there to Thrawn knowing that the Emperor is not actually dead like everyone is telling him? Plus, he's a smart cookie. So is there some connection to all of that and what will become the First Order? We know we're not there yet. But at some point, Thrawn has to be taken out of the picture because Brendel Hux is going to be the one who builds it and then gives it to his son.
Right.
There is a part in the books where Thrawn ends up learning about the Death Star because he goes through files and he learns about the Death Star before anyone tells him about it and things like that. So like for him to know about other things, I think that's fair. But I don't think that he knew that the Emperor was an immortal and that could live on. I don't think he had an understanding of that.
Maybe not immortal, but had at least figured out, you know, whether it be however they are going to explain that Valkorian secret to not dying, Vitiate, whatever the hell you want to call him today. I don't know. I obviously we'll get our answer in the future seasons, and you know, when I'm almost 50.
You're really harping on that.
Yeah, because the older I get and the more they keep telling these stories, I'm not promised tomorrow. And that'll be the one thing I regret growing to the grave is I didn't get to finish some of these stories.
Kevin's mortality is really starting to show
up. Oh my God, you have no idea lately. So, but that's what I'm worried about. Like, I don't care about these Lord of the Rings movies. That story's over to me. Like, that was, we tied that up with a bow. You could tell more stories around it. Give me a Silmarillion show that actually showcases Silmarillion. Cool. Narnia, that's over too. Read all the books. I'll never get what I want out of a Narnia television show or movie. It's just not going to happen. They did a great job with the first Disney one, and then they really let it go. This story, obviously, it's going to go on forever, and I will get some point where it's just like, I'm going to die, and I'm not going to get the closure in it. But I don't want it to be this story, because you know how much I love Ahsoka. For crud's sake, I built a purple lightsaber to be a badass like Mace. Walks over to Doc Ondar's, said, I need a white crystal. Do you have the white crystals? She, like, RP'd with me for 5 minutes, and I was like, cool, thanks. You know, I'm no Jedi. We had a good laugh. And then I immediately went outside. I tried to put it in, but didn't realize I needed a screwdriver, so I had to wait till I got home, and then I did it. Now I have the white lightsaber. So I really like Ahsoka. I like her whole... everything about her leaving the Jedi Order and all this stuff. I don't want this to go on forever. And Rosario Dawson saying stuff like, I'm going to play Ahsoka for a long time to come. That means we got big plans for Ahsoka. Cool. But like, how old am I going to be?
Old.
Like, is Hunter going to be in college when Heir to the Empire comes out? Like,
yeah, he can visit you in the retirement home.
Oh, damn. I'm not going to go to a retirement home. I'm figuring out how these old people live on cruises. That's going to be.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that the couple that bought 21 cruises because it was cheaper than living in a retirement home.
That's our plan. I was talking to Danielle about that last night. I was like, this is what we're going to do. Yeah. We're just going to live on the ocean.
It's good. You get to be your sail. You get to do the sea shanties like you've always wanted
to. Yeah, sing sea shanties and Billy Joel for the rest of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jimmy Buffett. It'll be great. Be great. Rip Buffett. Is there anything else in this episode you wanted to touch on?
No, I mean, that's so frustrating. there is nothing else that I want to talk about, which is just so...
What's the thing...
I'm so grumpy about
what's it. What's the thing at the end? What is the thing in the sky that they're staring at? And then we'll talk about Anakin.
The thing from Mount Doom?
It looked...
Like, were you talking about with Baylan, or are you talking about with Sabine? When
Sabine and Ahsoka that, like...
Sabine could feel... Anakin.
No, I know that, but there's that like light in the sky too.
Oh, that was the ring. That was the ring around the planet. That was the
bones.
The bones. That was the graveyard. That was just encircling the planet. And you saw that multiple times when they did like pan shots. Like as the sun was setting, you could see it a lot clearer.
So I know your thoughts on World Between Worlds, Anakin, near-death experience, not actually Anakin, some sort of trial, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
That's Anakin.
That was Anakin. I said that too. As like when he showed up, I was like, now that's Anakin. I was like, anything else before that was an imagination, was a dream, was a manipulation of memories, but that was the real Anakin Skywalker.
His face says to me, I'm worried about you. But I'm proud of you, and I know you're going to pull this out.
That's what the smile on this face was like. I'm here. I'm proud of you. You like when she said, like, you know, Ezra's where he needs to be and we are where we need to be. I think that was like, that was a big thing for Anakin, where he was like, okay, like Snips gets it. But like, that was really it. That's all I really got from that. It wasn't really anything very important other than being like, oh, cool. Ghost Anakin. Neat.
So for season two, I really feel like it's going to lead to this mystical journey throughout Peridia, with the end with the end being get back to galaxy while Thrawn is building whatever he's building and working with Shadow Council. I think you'll find out in Ahsoka season two whether or not Gideon's actually dead or if that was a clone.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like,
I don't think that's a Mandalorian story anymore. I think it's Ahsoka now, because they mentioned his name during the hearing in the Senate chamber, not the Senate chamber, whatever that room was that they were in.
I know what you meant.
And then we'll go back, and then season three would be to wrap that up. I guarantee you season three will have Luke in it. And the story might be, Tim, and the resolution to all of this. Well, wrap that part up. Obviously, there's a movie that's going to wrap it all up. The story might be, Tim, though, is that the threat was kept at bay and it never turned into all-out war. And maybe not everyone knew there was some sort of plausible deniability, something in the government. You know how the governments love to hide shit?
I hate it.
That might be what it is, you know, and they're, oh, this Imperial remnant, but we snuffed it out because Thrawn is now dead. Well, they're not actually dead because Brendel Hux took over. And now he's doing exactly what we were saying behind the scenes and building Starkiller Base and all that fun stuff. So there's a path forward. It's a little messy right now.
Extremely messy. That is, yes.
But do you trust Dave?
I do. I really do. I 100% trust Dave. I think what he's done so far has really brought Star Wars to a different level. And I think that's really cool. But at the same time, like you said, I think that was the way that you said it was great. It's messy. It's really messy right now. And for me, as someone who really likes continuity, who likes to be able to follow something and get that flow all the way through, I'm very disappointed in just how it flows right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we always talk about, it's like Charlie, you know, from Always Sunny, when he's like, you know, doing the lines and pulling the pins, like all that stuff.
Pepe,
like,
Sylvia. Like,
yeah, it just feels like that's... It gets to a point where it's kind of frustrating when you're just like, I guess we're just going to have to try to just like theory craft our way through to all of this stuff. And half of the time we're wrong.
Danielle's brushing her teeth and I'm laying in bed watching it. And she hears me with Anakin shows up. I go, ah! And then she goes, what? And I'm like, nothing. Cause she hasn't watched it yet.
Yeah.
And then the credits roll and I'm like, oh, 2 years, I guess, Dave, 2 years. She goes, the range of emotions I hear from you while you watch the show is hilarious. She's like, I might just start audio recording you because I hear you shriek. I hear you go, what the hell? I hear you. Because I'm very vocal. I don't keep things in my head. I just say them out loud, which just causes 50% of the problems in my life. With this specifically, she was just very amused by the ending because it went from like something cool to like, that's it. And then I'm fast forwarding like, what's Abba? I'm thinking after credits, this is what I'm like, okay.
I was hoping for it. That's why I scrolled all the way to the end and I waited. I was like, there's got to be an after thing.
This is where my brain goes. And this is what I wanted so bad. I was like, okay, with the statues, we've now eliminated the Kujet theory. The Avalon theory is very much more on the table than it was last week. So the perfect ending would be Baylan walking into a cave. And all of a sudden you just see two yellow eyes and the smile. And the
red, that would have been sick,
smile, dude, with the teeth, and just, then boop, and Ahsoka will return in season two in 2024.
We didn't get a good cliffhanger.
No, we just got a bunch of loose ends.
Yeah.
It sucks because Rick usually directs great episodes, and Rick directed this episode. And again, I don't think the episode itself was bad. It's just for a season finale, it wasn't hitting.
Yeah, I don't think it was bad. I really don't think it was bad. I just...
Because you and me love Rick. Rick directed some of our favorite episodes of
yeah, the Modern Era. It was a good episode. It's just we spent so much time with fluff like that, and I think that's my most frustrating part. Like the biggest frustration that I have with this episode is that there was so much fluff when there needed to be balls to the wall, like, here we go, like 45 minutes. And most of it was taken up by the procession to the temple and the chimera going up into space. But from a storytelling perspective, it didn't satisfy me. It just left me with just so many just unanswered questions. And for me personally, that is frustrating. And that's it. Like, that is my overall review of the episode, is that it was, and I think Dexterito had a great, like, their title for their art for their review of this was that it was limp. Ahsoka episode 8 review, a limp entertaining finale. And I agree 100%. It was limp from the storytelling perspective. It was entertaining from the visual on screen, like what we got. But sometimes I think you've got to let the action sit on the sidelines and let the storytelling have its moment. And I don't think there was enough storytelling overall in the 8 episodes of Ahsoka. There was not enough real storytelling to really get me from where we started to where we ended up and make it go, aha, I get it.
It's like
I didn't have the aha moment.
It's like Domino's pizza. You're going to order it. You're going to eat it. It's good.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
But it's not a good New York slice. It's not like a magical experience where you feel like you've gone to heaven and back. No, it's Domino's and it's good. And you'll order it again. But it's just Domino's.
Like, look at episode 5. Episode 5, if it's a standalone episode, not put up against anything else, just look at episode 5. Amazing.
What if I started rating episodes based on pizza?
I'm down for that.
I give this episode a whopping shit of Papa John's.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this episode.
Well, you're gonna ruin any sponsorship opportunities we'll ever have. So I need you to keep it generic pizza. Like, I give this a pepperoni and pineapple. You know, like this, I give this 5 slices out of 10.
I give this a DiGiorno's. This is a Costco home run. This was just awful.
Yeah, we're never going to get sponsorships, ever.
I do like those little Red Baron ones you get at Costco, the little personal ones that come on the microwavable plate.
My favorite ones were the Tostino's personal pizzas.
The personal pizzas.
The personal ones, the ones that were thin crust. Amy and I would tear those up in college. Like, that was our go-to, like, meal for a lot. Like, we would just, like, our freezer was just packed full of Tostino's pizzas when we were in college.
Did you ever go to the freezer, look at the Totino's pizza rolls, shrug, make the whole bag, sit down, play video games, and then you go to reach
whole fucking thing,
and they're all gone?
There wasn't any left? Yes. Many times.
Cool. Glad we're on the same page there. And
you didn't want to put them too long in the microwave, so some of them were still frozen because you were worried about them being lava pockets?
Yeah, because you would either bite and it would hurt your teeth because it was so goddamn cold, or you'd bite and it would feel like you just bit into
it. It would still hurt
Mountain
your
Dew.
Teeth, but it was really hot.
Yeah. Totino's pizza rolls. This
episode.
I think that's a great place to end it. So we give this episode a Domino's pizza.
The Domino's pizza is like, it was good. It was average. You know, it's just like, and that's frustrating. Like, it's just, I wanted it to be better.
Yeah. Some Domino's pizza with some good toppings. We'll leave it at that. We'll let you, we're not going to talk about pizza toppings
right now.
Yeah,
it was a stuffed crust.
Stuffed
crust is good, but you know it's bad for you.
Oh, so bad.
That's not real cheese.
The buttered stuffed crust too. That
I don't know
sprinkle
where
the
we're
cheese
going
on.
With this. God, we're just man.
Our fat Kevin and Tim have come to the party right now. To be like, oh, yeah, pizza.
I'm so hungry.
We have to end this episode. Thank you so much for taking the Ahsoka journey with us. Like we said, if you don't come back till we'll see you again for Skeleton Crew. But
good riddance. No, I'm kidding.
Here's the deal. If you're around, we'd love to get interactive with you in you know, chat. So if there's comics or books, you're like, hey, read this one, or I didn't hear your commentary on that, we'll take a few segments. We'll see. But I'll get with Tim offline and we'll talk about some comics. We'll post it on social media. And we can go from there and see what we're going to be covering for the next few, hopefully not year. When Skeleton Crew? Next year?
End of the year?
Is it this year?
Beginning of next year? It's something close. It's close. It's listed for 2023.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Yeah, so the end of the year. So fingers crossed that we'll still, I mean, I'm looking at the news right now for Skeleton Crew and I don't see anything about like, yeah. Nothing about being delayed or anything. So I think we're still holding on to like holiday 2023.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what we will be up to So we hope you stick around, and we thank you again for all of you helping Star Wars and Scotch be massively successful during Ahsoka. I can't say that enough. Yeah. It's really been fun and a ride. And, you know, as much as we say like, oh, this is about the finale, like, it's been a lot of fun to cover the show. So again, Tim and I appreciate it greatly. And we hope you stick around. But more importantly, you should be watching Tim regularly because you have available access to him at youtube.com/darkest429. So if you want to go over there and critique him playing Liza P, I'm saying that because he hates backseating.
Oh, but people have been so nice. People honestly have been like super nice during this playthrough. It's been great.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you can, I mean, like, yeah. I'm playing Liza P to get ready for Lords of the Fallen next week.
I liked your heart rate monitor during the one boss. That was fun.
Oh, I showed my heart rate after fighting the bishop, and like that was the highest it was all like outside of my workout, like the entire stream, because that thing was a son of a bitch.
Yep. And I am not streaming. I am playing New World right now because the expansion came out.
How is that?
Yesterday. It's New World with mounts.
It's New World. Got it. Okay, cool.
So if you want to move faster, they have mounts now.
Sick.
The new area, I was watching Corey play it. It reminds me of the Underdark from Baldur's Gate. Morrowind from Elder Scrolls. So if you're into that sort of thing, cool. I don't really connect with the lore of New World. I just play the game because it's an MMO. It's not like an MMO where I'm like, I'm really into this and I want to know the story. I just click and move. Yeah, New World's fun. But if you want to check out everything we're doing, it's raredrop.co. You can also check out Star Wars and Scotch. We're all over the place. Star Wars and Scotch or Star Wars Scotch. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out immensely. As I've said, you guys have done so much for us over the past few weeks. So we would just, again, want to say thank you. You know, we hope you keep hanging out with us. But until we see you again, Tim.
May the force be with you.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.